Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people that are feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
That is how you do it. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And I got to say, that last hour, I had fun. We got a lot of phone calls. And as it turns out, it would be a tough sell for Eric Greitens to run for office again. There would be some people that support. There'd be a lot of other people that would not. It's almost like 50-50 on the fence. That's a little controversial. But then again, sometimes when you put that letter next to your name, it garners support either way. So in practice, they may be kicking the tires. That Real Clear Politics article may make it sound like there's some interest there. And that's how they normally do it. They make their rounds. They see if people talk about them. They'll see if they're positive. They'll do some polling. And who knows what happens in the future. We're going to hook up with AccuWeather in about 30 minutes from now, a little after 11:30. And part of it is, hey, what areas are going to get the ice? What areas are going to get hit the hardest? What times are going to get hit? Is your Friday morning commute going to be a part of that? We'll try to pinpoint some of that with AccuWeather because Thursday night, Friday morning, it's not looking too great. I wanted to get to this from NBC News. There was an opinion piece by Corbin Smith. I don't know who that is. Is Corbin Smith a known commodity? I don't know. But if you're a sports fan, you've been paying attention to what's going down in Major League Baseball. And all sports fans listening right now, do you think Major League Baseball went too hard on the Red Sox and the Astros? Well, at least in the case of the Astros, 314-436-7900. That's the number here, or 800-925-1120. Yesterday, I had, no, was it Monday? I'm getting my days mixed up. It was two nights ago we talked about this. And I had Joe Pott on, and I brought up this argument. They went soft, I think, on the Astros. Cheat your way to world championships that easily have influenced the outcome. I go back and look at college sports. If this were college sports, they'd have vacated all their wins. They wouldn't have put up with this sort of thing. There'd be huge repercussions for it. Major League Baseball saying $5 million fine and a couple of draft picks. You can work around that. Like, that's doable. You got your world championships. How much money do you think they made off of those world championships and being as good as they were, filling the seats in the stadiums? $5 million is a drop in the bucket for the Astros. They got off super easy. But Corbin Smith puts the argument out that this is absurd, that Major League Baseball is way out of bounds, way foul. They hit that one foul. And let me read some highlights from his hot take from NBC News. Yes, his hot take. He's got a few of them in there. Let's start with this. Baseball is a difficult game. It's built on the collision of two round objects, a wooden bat and a leather ball. Man, they're already losing my attention. Already losing my attention. What do you think if you're at the plate and you knock one out of the park? What would you say? Like, do you have a catchphrase? I know what producer Mike would say.
Bye-bye, sugar pie.
He would say, bye-bye, sugar pie, and the thing's out of there. But as Corbin Smith points out and makes his argument, in search for a leg up, given the unfairness of the game, baseball players have indulged in cheating from time to time. Spitballing, for instance. They talk about cork bats. Cheating in baseball is an integral part of the game, as sunflower seeds in older men in children's uniforms screaming at umpires. He mentions the bat weighs less without the tip, supposedly. So some people gut it. They replace it with a little cork, cover it back up. Break the bat, you get ejected. But otherwise, who's going to figure it out? Sliding into a fielder's legs at a second to break up a double play. Not legal, but fairly common. A catcher blocking home plate in a desperate ploy to save the team. Not legal, but fairly common. This is all to say that baseball has kind of a loose relationship with its own rules. Thus, they need to be able to play the game and break those rules. Here's one thing, sign stealing. Pitchers and catchers need to plan with the pitcher who's going to throw, so they give each other little hand signals to determine each pitch. Let's say you're an opposing team's manager and you're trying to help. Very hard task. Wouldn't it behoove you to try to figure out those signals? But in the last few months, the sentiment has spread widely across baseball that certain competitors have taken their sign-stealing programs a little too far. The Houston Astros, the best team in baseball over the last half decade, winners of the 2017 World Series and championships, the American League West for the last 3 years, were the first to pay the price of this judgment. Oh, the martyrs, the Houston Astros. So, my goodness, again, this author makes it sound like they're martyrs for all of this. What was the Astros' crime, he says? Basically, using TV feeds to watch the opposing team's signs and then placing a staffer next to a trash can in the dugout so that whenever the catcher was signaling curve, he would whack the trash can. In 2017, when they began executing the scheme, the Astros improved their team hitting for an average of 0.035 points. And then, with the improved offense, they managed to win a World Series. Even factoring in baseball's long story, glorious history of cheating scandals, MLB is very mad about this one. And then he goes on to say, listen, cheating's a part of baseball. What they did wasn't all that bad. Just because they used electronics makes it worse. No, he's like, this is too much. He says, part of MLB in their trickery in the past and the way cheating is just part of it, this is by far way too hard of a punishment. In fact, it's an absurd punishment. This is crazy talk from this author, Corbin Smith, who says, yes, it's a hot take, you know?
Boom! Hot take!
I tried to play that and I didn't play it in time. The timing was off on that one. Comedy's all about timing. It's an old Steve Martin joke. So we talked about this the other night. I think they went soft on him. Here's whenever a team, even if they try to make the argument, oh, it really didn't make a difference, this would have been all good to begin with, then why'd you do it, number one? The fact that you did it and the fact that it had some sort of influence, it doesn't matter the outcome in some cases. And well, actually, it should absolutely matter. In this case, they won a World Series. That should tell you that the outcome was relevant to the cheating. And you can't just say, okay, in the cases, let's say the Houston Astros were terrible. Let's say they were one of those teams that were at the bottom of the league, whatever it may be. You can't say if this was the flipped around, oh, they were terrible, so what does it matter if they cheated or not? No, there'd still be repercussions for this, just for the fact that they did it. There is integrity in this game. There should be a lot more integrity in this game. The fact that it was an open secret and all these other players were conspiring together and they knew these things were happening and they were too afraid. Of course they would be afraid. They got, you know, probably the best job in the world. They're playing baseball for a living, making millions of dollars. They don't want to lose that. So all of these things and all these pressures that were put into it, you know what? They didn't go hard enough on the Astros. They should have went harder on the Astros, much harder on the Astros. 314-436-7900. So Corbin Smith says, it's absurd to punish a team for stealing signs. What do you think? It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com.
I was trying to figure out what we're going to cover this hour. Yeah, there's a lot to get to. But I had this topic for the other hour, and we went so long on the Eric Greitens stuff. I was kind of surprised so many people had an opinion if they'd vote for him or not. So I'm going to have to remember that one when he runs for office again. You think he runs for office again? I don't know. If I were him, I would feel like it wasn't worth the weight that it would put on your back. There's a lot of weight that goes into it. Yesterday, there was a couple of things we mentioned on the show. And there was one thing I played, a few things actually, but there was one thing I played I wanted to replay for you since we're talking sports, since we're talking baseball. We had Clint Hosse on, and we podcasted that full hour. We went back into KMOX radio memory lane, and it just so happens that we were going to try to find an audio example of Ann Keefe. And so I go through some of the digital files I have saved. And how about that? The one of Ann Keefe hosting At Your Service happened to be January 14th, 1986. It was just on the exact same anniversary date. She was talking about the mafia and had a couple of different guests, and they were talking about how the mafia is involved in a lot of different commerce in the United States. Well, part of that, too, I listened to some of the commercials, and there was a great Cardinals commercial in that I wanted to play again. This is from January of 1986.
St. Louis Cardinals baseball is on the air. Swing and a line drive, and that's the winner, folks!
We had a heck of a team. It was a heck of a year.
You called it, Mr. Bush. The Cardinals had a heck of a year in 1985, and the two Cardinals movie videos, Heck of a Year, and the St. Louis Cardinals the movie, also had a heck of a year. More copies of the two Cardinals movies have been sold in the St. Louis area since Thanksgiving than all the other movie videos combined. If you received a VCR for Christmas, or you've been waiting to buy these hit Cardinal movies, now's the right time. $21.95 for Heck of a Year, $29.95 for the St. Louis Cardinals the movie. Don't forget the KMOX Radio play-by-play audio cassette and the attractive Cardinal calendar. The St. Louis Cardinals, the movie, and Heck of a Year, available wherever movie videos are sold.
Practically anything and everything that has something to do with the Cardinals is a thrill for me.
Go crazy, folks!
I love that voice. I love that voice. That was the first time I heard it. Yeah, how'd they do in 1986? They do pretty good. So that'd be 1985's season. I know they won the championship in 82. How'd they do in 85? They have a pretty good year? Producer Mike? Oh, that's the one they lost Game 7 of the World Series. Yikes. See, this is part of the history. This is the part of the history of, you know, St. Louis that I don't know about because I didn't grow up here. I know that's probably a reason for a lot of people hearing that right now, and they're thinking to themselves, I'm never going to listen to that record guy again. I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying I didn't know. You know who, speaking of sports, one other thing, and spoiler alert in case you're going to watch it later. So, NHL, the Blues were just down the road from us. They could have made a franchise record for most home wins, and they dropped one to the Philadelphia Flyers 4-3 in overtime. So not as lucky, but still quite a streak. The Blues are still, what, 30-10-8 on the year? Wow, are they performing? And around the corner is the All-Star game where we have four Blues represented in that. And outside of Enterprise, someone posted this earlier. Apparently, Green Day is going to be playing outdoors. So I guess if you come down on that Saturday during the All-Star game weekend, you can catch a free Green Day concert. Still not enough to entice me to go see it. The NHL, this is what they normally do. They find those acts that were really big like 20 years ago to 15 years ago. And then they're like, okay, people still like this sort of thing. It's not like a current act or anything like that. Green Day is, they're not really looked at as an A-level musician anymore. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame came out with their Hall of Fame, came out with their winners today. In fact, if you wanted to go look at that, who are going to be the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? The list is out. It's going to be Depeche Mode, Doobie Brothers, which is interesting because everyone thought Doobie Brothers was in it already. Nine Inch Nails, so a 90s band. Notorious B.I.G. for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. T-Rex. Bum, 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 banging on. I'm surprised at these. And then the last one, Whitney Houston. When I think rock and roll, I think Chuck Berry, I think Rolling Stones, I think Whitney Houston. And Notorious B.I.G., why is he on there too? Has he ever been considered rock and roll at all? I think that's a pretty broad approach to these different people that are on the list. And sure, I get it. Who wasn't picked? Dave Matthews Band, thank goodness. I do a pretty good Dave Matthews Band impersonation. It sounds like your car's alternator's going out or your starter's going out and you're trying to get it to go and you honk the horn at the same time. Judas Priest didn't make it. Soundgarden could have went in there easily. Thin Lizzy could have been in there. Todd Rundgren could have went in there. All of those would have been much better selections than Notorious B.I.G. and Whitney Houston. Even Nine Inch Nails, I scratch my head and say, why this early for someone like them? What else is Motorhead's on there? MC5, they'll eventually, I mean, these bands will eventually get in there. Pat Benatar get in there too. But either way, that's how it goes in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've been there a couple of times in Cleveland. Growing up in Detroit, it's not that long of a drive. So if you really wanted to go for a day trip down to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was pretty easy. And I did. I mean, I went to a couple exhibits. It's fun. It looks huge on the outside. It's actually a very small building, but they got some cool things inside of there. I saw this story at the calnewspapers.com. Newspaper editor Gloria Lloyd was there, and she was one of the final passengers on the Loop trolley, and she was able to share her experience. First thought was, why is she taking this long to put this article out? I mean, the Loop trolley closed down like 3 weeks ago. You think that you would be a little bit more timely and you would want to get that out there quickly. Yeah, 3 weeks is a long time to wait and sit on something. But maybe she really needed to make sure the words were correct. I didn't think this was poetic by any means. Here's a couple of things she said. The Loop trolley broke down on its last ride down the Del Mar Loop last month, ending its 13-month run as the problem plagued as it began. The last ride lasted about 2 hours with a 45-minute break down halfway through the 2.5-mile trip. It's really 2.2-mile trip, but who's counting? It happened in front of the Peacock Diner, and she documented how some of the people inside were very frustrated, as I would have been. I've been on it when it's been broken down. It is so frustrating. Now, there wasn't anyone on it. I mean, it was basically me, my wife, my son, and there was like 2, 3, 4, 5 other people. One of which guy was just there and we were waiting and the windows were open because it was during the summer and he saw his neighbor just so happened to walk by. And he said, hey, can you give us a ride back to our house? They didn't want to wait around because the thing was taking too long to begin with. A couple of people did that while they were waiting, too. Now, on the very last ride of the Loop trolley, some people were riding it for the first time, and then they got to see why everyone was complaining about it as they waited for 45 minutes. It took 2 hours to go 2.2 miles like it was Los Angeles traffic. People would get off. People were complaining. People were upset. Some people were trying to make the best of it, saying, where else are you going to go? Yeah, try to make the best of it. No, 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 thanks. But they go down and they say a few things of how it happened. There was one little moment where they thought they were going to go. They moved a couple of feet and they had to stop again. And she said the reason was the doors have to close and they have to synchronize how the doors are closing. So at the front and back of the trolley, there's these, you know, motorized doors that open and close. So when the conductor closes it, both sides close at the same time. Well, if they're not closing at the same time, they trigger some error and the thing can't ride. Even though the doors are closed, the thing can't go. So they call a technician in. The technician rips up the seat. And I've witnessed this myself. It was some dude with pants too low. You remember the old SNL skit with Bill Murray where he's trying to repair a refrigerator and he'd bend over and the top of his crack was showing? So that was like the Loop trolley. The guy was bending over. You'd see the top of the crack showing, trying to play with the electronics down there. The electronics looked like a 1960s radio station with wires punched into the punchboard everywhere you looked at. It didn't look like anything modern. So the guy finally got it going, and then it went, and then it stopped again, and they were playing around with it again, and you know the guy was all sweaty. Like, if you were to try to look like a real-life Mario from the Mario Brothers, it would look like that Captain Lou Albano that used to do the real-life Mario skits back when the cartoon was on the air. Albano, but either way, spitting image of them. So finally, they get the thing going. Most people realize why this was a bad idea. The best quote in this article was, people were yelling, I want Joe Edwards here to push this thing back to the end. They were so upset. Get him out here to push this thing to the end. Writers were very... I saw the exact same problems with it. This thing better not get the money. They better not try to revive this. Not with any public dollars. Scrap it all together. I'm so glad the thing's not running right now. I really am. I sleep better at night knowing that we're not going to be wasting any more money on this thing. Please don't make me wake up in a cold sweat sometime in the future. Please don't make that happen. We're going to Talk to AccuWeather in a moment. And AccuWeather's always good at joining us live at night. When you see the forecast, all roads are going to get bad. Untreated areas are going to be bad. We could see some sleet. We could see some snow. We could see this or that, and we're just a day out of it. I want to talk about some of the impacted areas, the ones that they think will be most impacted. What can we really expect, realistically speaking? And I guess what's the worst-case scenario? Depending on where you live, I guess you'll find out what it's going to be like this time tomorrow night. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I don't know if we should contact CBS News, their main desk. Huh. Do you have a number for CBS News, their main news desk in New York? The reason I say this is I feel like we should give them a warning, because I saw the Newswire as it popped down. There was an article about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. And, you know, I was like, oh, we just talked about that. That's kind of neat. They have a clip for Biggie Smalls singing Hypnotized. It's not censored. There's the N-word, the S-word. And I was like, whoa, if any affiliate plays that clip, they're going to be putting that on the air thinking it's safe to play. Oh, my. Oh, that screams rock and roll to me. I was going to actually play it and make fun of it, saying, yo, this is rock and roll, huh? This is the way rock and roll is. And then I was just shocked. So I feel like we should give them a heads up in New York, please. I hope the CBS News at the top of the hour doesn't play that clip. Oh, man. I guess you're going to have to listen at midnight. Anything could happen here through the late night hours. Now, I've never heard that song, Hypnotized. I know it's like the popular one or whatever, but it was like N-words and all kinds of swear words in that. They have to repeal that and get that out of there as quick as they can. All right, I think we're going to be hooking up with AccuWeather in just a moment. Yeah, they do Bridge now. AccuWeather does Bridge. Oh, okay. I'm just going to bring you up live. I think AccuWeather may be listening. Hello!
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. I'm sorry. We had a little technical glitch there, so I didn't catch your name.
Oh, it's Brett Edwards, but I want to see this video clip now.
Video clip of what?
Oh, the sound clip, pardon me.
So that's what they do. CBS News, we have the Newswire, and it has all of these different things, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the clip for Biggie Smalls Hypnotized, and it's all the swear words in it. They clip 35 seconds of it. I'm going to guess through the whole song you can't find 35 seconds without a swear word. So they should have bleeped this thing out, but they didn't. All right, so good luck. I guess when they go in and perform this on stage at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremonies, they're going to have to leave all the original language in. Well, Brett Edwards, thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I keep seeing the severe weather alerts, and people are really concerned what's going to be happening here. There's different air fronts moving through, and it sounds like since St. Louis is right in the middle of the country, we're going to be right in the middle of this thing.
Yeah, with this storm system making its way through, it's going to be a fairly messy setup, to say the least. It looks like for a good portion of the people, starting out tomorrow, we're going to see a little bit of snow start out. That's going to last for just a couple of hours there for your Saturday morning commute, unfortunately. So for anyone traveling out Saturday morning, prepare for a little bit of a longer commute. It looks like it could be a messy one, especially starting out a little bit farther west of the city. Starts out a little bit of snow, and then we start to see that wintry mix come in. A little bit of sleet mixes in there, and then some freezing rain, which is going to last through a good portion of the day into Saturday night, finally transitioning back over to some rain. But it is going to be... it's going to be messy. I'd use another adjective, but I can't use that on air. So just messy is, I think, the best way to describe this.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of surprised because I thought we were going to see this on Thursday. So you're saying mostly this is it pushed back a day, the expectations of the storm?
Yeah, it looks like Thursday here for across the St. Louis area here today, it's going to be just colder, increasing clouds throughout the day, a little on the cool side, high up to 35. So nothing extreme for the area. But yeah, it looks like overnight Thursday night, early Friday morning, we'll start to see it creep into the St. Louis area. And it's going to be messy.
I'm surprised. I mean, this seems like the forecast may have changed a little bit since the last time we got an update, because we were really looking at like Friday morning. There could be some late rain developing to freezing rain, things like that through the overnight. So the Friday morning rush hour morning commute would have been the one impacted. So now we're looking at Saturday. Is that right?
Wait, was I saying Saturday?
You were saying Saturday. Are you getting the days mixed up? You know, the days, they blend together, don't they? I get the
days
mixed
together,
up all the time.
They blend together, and when you work nights, you work different days. I am, to everyone listening, I am sorry. Let me try that again. Let me try that again.
Okay.
Okay. Friday morning, a little bit of snow, sleet, freezing rain through Friday into Saturday morning. Saturday morning, we'll see it rain.
Okay. Saturday
morning, rain. Friday morning through the day, snow, sleet, freezing rain. Friday's the day.
That's the biggest threat that we're seeing, the storm hitting in St. Louis.
Yes.
Yeah. So what areas, is it just going to be a pretty wide area through Missouri, or is there certain areas that have the biggest threat when it comes to this freezing rain and sleet and all that?
Certainly through a good portion of the Missouri area, it's going to be earlier Friday morning. As you get into downtown, we see a little bit later, that's more of 10 to noon for downtown. As you get to the east side, over into the Illinois side of St. Louis, that's when you'll start to see more of a late morning, early afternoon threat. And that'll be closer to that 1 to 2 p.m. time frame for east of St. Louis into the Illinois area. And that's when you'll start to see a lot, some of that sleet. Across Missouri area, it's going to be a lot of sleet. A lot of freezing rain. I mean, this is going to be a significant ice threat for central northern Missouri through St. Louis into western Illinois.
You know, with the size of this storm, how far north and south? How large of an area are we expecting to get this sleet?
Oh, boy, I mean, areas all the way from western Texas into Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana.
Oh, man, that's a huge wall of ice. So let's say we go a little bit further west of St. Louis. You get St. Charles and, you know, maybe if you even go as far as like Columbia, what time frame are they looking at getting hit with this?
For those areas, a little bit earlier, that may look like just prior to sunrise. It looks like right around that 6 a.m. time frame in parts of here. Let me pull up a map so I get the exact area correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for St. Charles, it's going to be right about that, you know, right about that 7 to 8 a.m. time frame. You get a little bit farther east, it backs up another hour or two.
Okay. Wow, this seems like it's kind of slow moving, going through the area.
Yeah, through the St. Louis area, it really kind of drudges through. Not much movement with it. It's just kind of slowly trucking along. Normally, what we would expect to see is once you hit daybreak, temperatures start to rise a little bit. But with the rain already well established by sunrise, once the sun is out middle of the day, you're really not going to see a lot of warming because the clouds are already in place. The freezing rain, the sleet is already falling. That's really going to prevent a lot of warming throughout the day. And that's really what's going to keep the sleet and the freezing rain kind of entrenched across Missouri and St. Louis through much of the day Friday.
Oh, man. When's the next time we're going to see warm weather? Because we just came a couple of days in a row in the 50s, which didn't seem all that bad. Even though it was kind of like damp 50s or misty, you know, it wasn't all that great because it wasn't like a sunny 50. When can we see in the future, if we go back for the next, or if we look out to the next week, what are we expecting?
I don't know if I want to break your heart.
Oh, no. So we're not looking at any warm temperatures here on out.
Unfortunately, the exact opposite, actually.
Oh, so what does it look like?
Winter.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it looks like winter. Right now, it looks like we're going to see a pretty substantial cold push across a good portion of the country, all the way from the northern plains, well through the east and down into the south even. Through the weekend, it looks like parts of St. Louis are going to see that high temperatures next week, this upcoming weekend, into the beginning of next week, highs in the teens. I mean, it's going to be cold. It looks like freezing temperatures all the way down into parts of central Florida beginning of next week.
Wow, freezing in Florida. Sounds like a personal ad someone took out. So, Brett Edwards with AccuWeather, just a quick recap. So, Thursday night, Friday morning, if we go a little bit west of St. Louis, you know, we could start to see some areas, at least some of our western side of the listening area, 7 a.m., 8 a.m., things like that. Then eventually it gets to St. Louis, 10 a.m. to noon. And then if you go past that area, Illinois, after, just kind of moves through, it's going to be slow moving. And that's when you can kind of expect some of this sleet to hit our area.
Yeah, and it's not even sleet. Again, I mean, this looks like a good freezing rain setup as well. Big difference there is you're going to see ice accumulation on roadways, on sidewalks. This is going to create treacherous conditions. So certainly, if you have to go out, take your time, because this could bring ice accumulations of a tenth of an inch of ice, even in some spots, maybe a little bit higher, which can cause, you know, you can have the best winter tires in the world, you will slide on ice.
Oh, I know.
It is slippery by nature.
Isn't that an album by Bon Jovi? I think it is.
No, so, but coming on, all I can think of is ice, ice, baby.
Oh, man. Brett Edwards from AccuWeather, thank you so much for coming on and giving us an update on KMOX.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Oh, good old AccuWeather. This is great. We can be live. We can be live on a nighttime. Let's see, it's 11:43 p.m. in St. Louis, Missouri, and AccuWeather will come on with us and give us an update of how this weather is going to impact your area Friday morning. Very nice of them. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Wow. Overnight America continues, and we're on till midnight. Here we are. Hey, look at us. Look at us here. Just having some fun. We do the replay hours after midnight, so right after that, we have Jane Duker right to start the midnight hour, and we'll talk a little bit about Kim Gardner. She's been on fire when it comes to Twitter, and some of her thoughts. I mean, what are the red flags when it comes to this lawsuit Kim Gardner is raising? She comes at it from, of course, an opposite perspective than Kim Gardner, so we'll talk to her about that. And Dr. Michael Bussler, at about 12:35-ish, will join us on public policy, economics. He's a professor of finance. I want to know what his take is on the China deal. If we have one, what kind of repercussions and what good things could come to this country if this deal goes through and everything looks good? And all signs are they've at least reached one preliminary agreement. Second hour, right after 1 o'clock in the replay hour, author Marie Benedict's in the studio. And she has a couple of different novels out, one about Hedy Lamarr and one about Clementine Churchill. And I learned a lot from her, and I'm so glad she stopped by the studio to spend some time to talk about her novels. She has an appearance coming up tomorrow morning. So one thing I wanted to play, saw this one real quick, from WSOC is in North Carolina. One mother is very upset of a video that was caught on a school bus.
The video is alarming.
Don't you love that? I don't care about none of you kids.
Taken on a Kannapolis City Schools bus, showing a bus driver screaming at the students, at one point seemingly saying, "I don't care about none of y'all little kids."
You about that mouth, be about it. Don't talk me to death.
This video was taken by...
All right, here's the thing. If you're a bus driver, I'm sure those kids are just completely crazy. You know how public school buses go. It's not civil. Not at all. It's wild, and I'm sure those kids got on her last nerve. I'm sure they pushed her to the absolute brink of insanity. So when a technical problem, the bus breaks down, that was it. She's like, "Oh, not today, not today."
By Julia Jackson's 13-year-old son, and shared with Channel 9. She says her son called her after the bus got a flat tire, and they were on the side of the road.
And I heard her screaming in the background, and I said, "Well, is that her screaming?" And I was like, "Well, she should be trying to make y'all pretty calm." I said, "Well, just hang up and record everything."
And that's what he did.
That broke my heart.
She says she was worried for all of the children and how her son would react.
No, don't be worried. The children were never in harm. It's not like this school bus driver was going to go around and start physical violence against these kids. I could absolutely sympathize with the bus driver. Now, would I act that way? No, I wouldn't act that way. But how many of you went on a long road trip, dad would be driving, something will go down, the kids in the back wouldn't listen, yelling, screaming, and dad would turn around and he would just, "I'm going to turn this car around." You tell me that hasn't happened at least once in your life. There's certain limits. Now, imagine as bad as you and your brother and sister were in that back seat. Imagine about 40 other kids doing the exact same thing. It's enough to drive anyone like this. You could be the Pope and you'd still do that. You know, the Pope going around slapping hands and things. You would be the Pope bus driver, and the Pope would still turn around and yell at you. I mean, that's how much these pressure is under these bus drivers at any given time.
My son has certain disabilities, ADHD, ODD, and bipolar. And I said, well, how are you feeling? He said, I'm scared.
The school district confirmed.
Wait, so the kid has ADD, ADHD, ODD, and is bipolar. Whoa, it's a lot of diagnosis.
From the incident happened on Friday afternoon, saying in a statement, the behavior of the bus driver shown on the video is very upsetting and not acceptable at all. No one should speak to children like that. We suspended the bus driver the moment we saw the video.
Okay, it's better to suspend them. Hopefully the bus driver doesn't lose the job over this. I think they can understand that sort of. Is she fired? Please don't be fired. I hope they didn't fire her.
This mom says she understands kids can get rowdy, but what happened here is unacceptable.
You can tell them to hush, or you can step off the bus and call your administrators and say they're being too much. I need somebody to hurry up. This is crazy. You don't handle other people's children that way.
Wow. Is that true? Did you actually see that? So, producer Mike, there's another video I didn't see. Pop up on the air real quick. So there's another video that wasn't included with the WSOC?
There's a second video that another girl took, I guess after they had fixed the flat tire, of her dropping off another student and taunting her in a very aggressive, bullying manner.
Really?
She is fired, and if you see the second video, I think you would agree that she deserved it.
It changes things, the second video?
Yes.
What was she doing to taunt the kids?
It was just all verbal taunting out of her window, yelling at a kid. Basically, one of the things I think she said was, can you even spell anxiety like you claim to have?
Oh, no. She knew she was going out in a blaze of glory. She's like, I've had enough of this at this point.
And it
yikes.
Keeps going.
Oh, yeah. These kids, man, 13 years old, though. It's not like they were, eight. They were 13. I mean, they're basically high schoolers. They are high schoolers at 13, aren't they? Either way. A story from WSOC. We're going to start the hour talking about Kim Gardner and Jane Duker, but yesterday Kevin Kling did a great whole nother story on it.
We stand with Kim! We stand with Kim!
There were about 50 supporters of St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner outside the courthouse chanting. But there was one woman away from the crowd down by the curb heckling the proceedings.
My son is dead! My son is dead!
Melvina Turner holding a sign that says, Kim Gardner must go. My son is dead.
And the reason I'm down here protesting against Ms. Gardner, my son was killed November the 30th, 2018, in an auto accident. This young man who was driving the car, he was driving 70 miles an hour in a 30-mile-hour zone. And not only did he kill my son, he hit another vehicle as well. And when I pressed for a prosecution, Ms. Gardner turned down the manslaughter charge.
Turner says the police did a thorough job investigating the crash.
Toxicology reports and everything. This man had opiates in his system, alcohol in his system, and he had hit another vehicle. My son dead, but Ms. Gardner did not have evidence in order to prosecute for manslaughter. That was crazy.
Turner believes that Gardner passed on the case for personal reasons because Turner once criticized her on Facebook for another case in her family, this one involving a grandson.
My grandson had an incident where he accidentally shot his best friend. The young man that was killed, his parents even came down here to plead to lower the bail so they can get him out. And Ms. Gardner wanted to even try to put armed criminal action up on his case when that was not the facts at all.
Did Ms. Gardner prosecute your grandson for
the accidental shooting? Yes, she did.
Did he get convicted?
Yes, he got convicted for involuntary manslaughter.
And you think it's because you criticized her for that publicly that she didn't prosecute the drunk driver who killed your son?
Exactly why she did it.
Kevin Kling does such a great job with those other stories. All right, that does it for us tonight. Enjoy your replay hour, and we'll be back again tomorrow. It's Overnight America.
Good night. Again. Spend another night alone, sleeping with the rain.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.